And now it's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Welcome back. Second hour. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, David Campbell, and we are brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the great events coming to the season that dreams are made of at mscopus.org. Lots of great shows coming in. All the ticket information is on there, mscopus.org. Check it out. Lots of good stuff on there. All right. It's the Friday show. Hit us up, 229-1939. If you have a topic, our big topic, our first topic of the second hour is this bizarre Stuart Allenby. Did I say his first name wrong? Golfer, right? Stuart Allenby, whatever, who cares. Allenby fired his caddy mid-round in a tournament.
Yeah, which, they got into a shouting match.
Yeah. And he just canned him. And then a fan.
Oh, it's Robert Allenby.
Robert Allenby. Who's right? Stuart Allenby? That's probably somebody. I don't know. Someone out there is named Stuart Allenby. Probably an extra in an episode of Sherlock or something. But whoever Allenby is. And that's not the point. The point is, what I want to talk about is, what's the maddest you've ever been or seen somebody in the middle of a sporting event? I mean, I've never been so mad that I would fire. Probably because I'm not that good of an athlete, but I've never, and I get mad playing golf because I am horrible, but I would never fire a caddy mid-round, I don't think. It's kind of a bizarre deal.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to believe you'd get to that point, but.
There was it George Brett? He probably would have fired everybody that he could have fired.
Oh, when he had the, when they disallow, was it a home run that he hit?
Because of the Pintar game.
Yeah, the Pintar game.
And I don't know. I'm trying to think.
It's still one of the great video clips you'll ever want to see.
I was trying to think of, and that's kind of the topic. Have you ever seen someone so mad they would fire a teammate? Because effectively, that's what a caddy is.
Yeah.
And people would fire umps, and they'd fire fans and fire opponents all the time. But as someone so mad at a teammate, they would actually fire him. I don't know. I couldn't know if I could think of anything. I mean, I'm sure Kobe would fire all of his teammates all the time if he could.
Yeah, it looks like Dez Bryant wants to do that every now and then with the Cowboys.
Yeah. Dez would have fired Romo a couple times. He would have hired him back. It would have been a long-term thing. I don't know. Y'all let us know if y'all can think of any.
Well, I'm having a hard time coming up with anything there, to be honest with you.
How often is people on the same team really get into that big of a shouting match? You know, I mean, it was kind of a bizarre. I know that the offensive line would have fired Mike Sherman when they didn't run the ball in that fourth down against Arkansas that one time. Chris DeMichael and the O-line were yelling on the sidelines. I remember that. But, otherwise, I don't know. Hit us up, 229-1939. A teammate that would like to fire a teammate.
Robert Allenby was the guy that in Hawaii that they had that weird deal where he was like.
I don't even know if that's radio appropriate, that whole story.
Yeah, that whole deal. So maybe his caddy felt like he had the upper hand. Maybe Allenby would be scared of it or something, you know, so.
I don't know. Apparently, Stuart Appleby is a golfer. Maybe that's who I was thinking of instead of Robert Allenby. So, you know, that's a common mistake. The guy that was notoriously hard on teammates was Jordan. But I don't think he was ever to the point that he would have fired
Kobe.
His teammate. Well, like I said, Kobe would fire his teammates all the time if he could.
Yeah, I mean, he...
Peyton Manning maybe has
Peyton
gotten.
Manning, you know, and they caught him on the sideline. That thing he did with Saturday is center, man.
He might have fired a few teammates in his day.
Yeah, sometimes it's probably best. If you have a certain image to maintain, maybe a microphone on the sideline is not a good way to go.
No.
And Peyton Manning, that probably would have been the case.
Speaking of Peyton Manning, I did get a little fired up today because on ESPN.com, which is, you know, the home – I'd love to have the money from their page use an advertisement, but it's kind of the home page for sports. When a lot of people get up in the morning and they want to see what's going on in sports, they just ESPN.com or the ESPN app or whatever way you want to get it through there. Their number one story I clicked on earlier, training camp previews, David. Who cares?
Slow week, isn't it?
Oh, my. It's so slow. Training camp preview. Who cares about a training camp preview? Like, what are you going to – everyone knows at this point who the battles are, what the positions could be.
It's filler.
It just gave me a headache to think about. Training camp.
Yeah, it doesn't do much for me either.
Previews. Y'all should start doing.
When we've probably been talking about those, but if you're following a team, you probably already know every story
at this point. Y'all should do, y'all do the big preseason high school magazine. Y'all should do a first one going into two-a-days, the two-a-day preview.
Thanks. I'll never get caught up.
Yeah, you have your two-a-days preview, yeah. And then you have the actual season preview.
Yeah,
so it's a whole separate deal. You preview the practices, then you preview the games. I think that's what the people want.
I don't think the people want that.
I think if I know the people, I think they
I don't think you know the people.
Do.
I think that's unlikely.
Oh my God! But yeah, just seeing that was who's reading that? If you read a training camp preview, text us to or you know call in 693-1150 because I want to know what you got out of that. Maybe we need to start writing fall camp previews for A&M.
I may go on there because I don't really know much about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, so I may go get their training camp preview. I mean,
you know, it's a better preview. Deadspin right now is doing their "Why Your Team Sucks" 2015 edition, and they are all hilarious. And now none of them are suitable for radio, so I can't read any of them out loud. But the if you only had a chance to read one, the Tennessee Titans one. From a couple days ago, might be one of the funniest things I've ever read. I mean, it's hilarious. Right. And the best part is at the end where fans of the team write in about why their team is so horrible. And it's endless hilarity. I mean, I could not stop laughing at the Titans one. I mean, it was glorious.
You'll point me in that direction.
Yeah. It's like I said, it's on Deadspin. It's their season previews. But, you know, if you're doing that kind of preview, and this is one thing that you're just filling content, no one's clicking on it, no one's reading it, but your editors want you to write it, it would be like a fall camp preview for A&M. I mean, everyone already knows the battles. They know the guys that aren't coming back. They know the guys that are coming back. A little bit different maybe last year when A&M had like 8 suspensions that may or may not be pending, so who's actually on the team was a little bit of a conversation, but they don't really have that this year. They're pretty sure who's there. So I don't even know what you would even talk about in a preview thing for that. But hey, I don't work for ESPN, so there you go.
Yeah.
It is going to be an interesting camp, though, for A&M. You know, you don't need a preview for that, but we talked a little bit a while back about things you're looking forward to. And for me, this is one of the more interesting years for A&M in some time. I kind of got a little bit off topic, but I was just thinking about this today because, I mentioned earlier I was getting a little fired up for the start of the season. So you start thinking about that big opener, the non-conference opener against Arizona State, which means a lot. But really means nothing. I mean, unless you think A&M is a national championship contender, which I don't think, you know, most people probably don't.
Yeah, but you got to go in and think those are big games. Because,
right. Well, that's what I'm saying.
You have to think that way.
It's one of those, it means everything and means nothing kind of games. It's a huge game. But if A&M loses it and bounces back and recovers, it doesn't really mean anything. And in fact, it doesn't really knocked him out of national title contention, if that's what you think, because...
Right, I think that's probably the best time to lose.
if they assuming that Arizona State ends up being a halfway decent team, that's not a horrible loss. I mean, yeah. Ohio State lost to Virginia Tech last year and still ended up winning the national championship. So it is kind of a fascinating game, and to me, an interesting season, because A&M's kind of in between... Not really in between, but they're not quite where they want to be as a team, roster-wise, depth-wise, but they do have...
Especially depth-wise.
Well, they do have the guys, is what I'm saying. So, like, they need those guys to mature, and a few of them. You know, I mean, I know he's going to be a true sophomore, but there's still a long way to go for Kyle Allen. And, you know, he's probably the quarterback that people think can get it done, but can he get it done now? Speedy Noyle, Christian Kirk, all these young guys are going to have it wide receiver. They're going to have some new guys around the offensive line a little bit, and then especially on defense under this new system. It's the people they think can take them there, but maybe not quite the year yet. So it's going to be kind of a fascinating – you know what I'm kind of saying?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they have so many –
You're making my mind's kind of spinning off now with the quarterbacks that they have coming in. I mean, who's their best candidate to become H-back among the guys that they come in here?
That would certainly be Kyler. If someone was going to become an H-back, he's the best athlete of the group, I would imagine. I don't think that's going to happen, probably. And then that's the other thing, too, of what exactly do they do with Kyler Murray? Because he's going to want to get on the field. So even if he's not your starter, do you use him in some ways? I mean, do you come up with some sort of, I don't know, I don't want to call it like a
package.
I don't like that word. Because it makes it sound like, you know, you're just doing it to do it. But maybe you do. I don't know. It's kind of an interesting, interesting take. Maybe again, people probably. We had Jay Arnold on yesterday, and he talked about how hard it is to really get going as a true freshman. And this is the thing. This is the major hurdle, I think, to Kyler's getting on the field this season. It's not that I don't necessarily think he's as good as Kyle Allen. It's just, you know, he wasn't a midterm guy. I just have a hard time seeing him getting up to speed that quickly. I mean, to do that would be amazing if he can get up to speed
he's
that fast.
Pretty amazing athlete. I mean, he is.
Yeah, you've seen him.
I have seen him, and he does a lot of things well. And you know, I remember we were having this conversation before Johnny Manziel took over. I remember these things were coming up before, and who do you want? You know, who and what kind of quarterback do you want? Once they actually open camp, which I don't actually. When do the Aggies get started?
I think
started?
It's the 9th of August,
which is a little later than some of the other.
Yeah,
people,
well,
right?
It's a little bit later than some people, and also because it's a little later than normal because A&M doesn't start until September 5th.
Right,
Last year their first game was August 31st.
Yeah.
So it's back a little bit, and then they don't start on the first day you can start. I don't think. I think they have a couple days so they can pack the practices a little closer together.
I'm just. Not at this point, and I know I think everybody's assuming Kyle Allen's going to be the guy. I'm not so sure that I believe that it's a done deal yet. I think they're going to really, you know, make this a job. I mean, a fight for the job. Kyle Allen seems like the obvious.
See, I just don't. I have a hard time buying it. I keep coming back to, you know, how often does an incumbent starter really get knocked off by a true freshman? I mean, ever.
It's in the middle of the season when Kyle Allen
last
year.
Well, yeah, in season is different. I'm talking going into the year. I don't know that hardly ever happens. It's just so difficult to get up to speed when the other guy knows the system, knows the players, knows everything, how to prepare for a game day in college and all that kind of stuff that you have to get used to. I will say, kind of fitting, Aaron Moorhead, A&M's new wide receivers coach, just tweeted that he's about to be in the Dallas airport for a long time. So what to do? He goes, probably watch more ASU film. The time is coming. 2015 is here. That's what he said. So get a little closer, watch a little film, get a little ready for the Sun Devils. I think something about this game is A&M is a favorite, according to most, you know, the lines that are already out there, the offshore lines and stuff like that. But Arizona State's almost definitely going to be ranked higher. So I think that's a little bit of a fascinating deal.
Which means they, despite the fact that A&M's not played that much in Houston, they consider Houston to be a home field advantage.
Yeah, you would think so, certainly. But anyway, so there you go. A little bit about that. Let's go to break. When we come back, it's Friday. We'll hit you up with a little space news. Come back with us. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle, Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
It's summertime and you're on the go to camps, sporting events, day trips, or just around town. So make sure you stop in at your neighborhood Rattler. And check out all the icy cold drink specials or grab a snack of Duke's Beef Jerky. All flavors only $5.99 a pack. Or pick up some lunch like a delicious fully loaded hot dog. Only 79 cents with your registered Rattlers Rewards card. Working out in the sun? Then cool off after work with a 12-pack of beer from the fine families of beer from Bud, Miller, and Coors. Only $10.99. Rattlers. Friendly. Clean. Texan.
Coca-Cola Family Packs are back for another season of Texas Rangers Baseball. Bring a family of four out to Globe Life Park and enjoy the perks of one of the best offers available. Get four hot dogs, four Coca-Cola soft drinks, four tickets, plus two Kids Zone wristbands and one souvenir program for $69 in the upper reserve section or $113 in the lower reserve section. Visit TexasRangers.com/specials to buy your Coca-Cola Family Pack. Offer valid for most Sunday through Thursday regular season home games.
Everyone uses t-shirts to support their group, club, or business, so what makes a good t-shirt? It all starts with the artwork and design and an easy ordering process. So bring or send your ideas to Monograms and More and let their art department design the right t-shirt for your group or event. Why would you ever think of ordering t-shirts online when you can simply email your ideas to Monograms and More? Competitive pricing, a wide variety of shirt styles and colors, and fast turnaround makes Monograms and More the best choice. It's that simple. Call Monograms and More at 693-7773 or go online to monograms-more.com. Today.
Here's Brad Beard of Intercon.
Replacement windows, like other major purchase items, will at some time in the future need service, whether warranty or not. If you purchase your replacement windows from Intercon, you'll just phone our local number and we'll take care of your issue in a prompt and professional way. Every one of Intercon's personnel who answer the phone will know how to involve the right people to find a solution. With Intercon, you won't spend hours manipulating through an automated phone tree. If you consider purchasing your replacement windows from another window source, a good exercise would be to call the service department of the other company. You might come away thinking it'd be better to put your trust in a local company with a solid and well-established reputation. Ask your friends and colleagues about the customer experience they had with Intercon. We are proud of our track record and our commitment to long-term customer service. Trust Intercon, a family-owned local business, with all of your window needs.
Whether you have new construction or an existing home, let the fine folks from Intercon help your home energy efficiency year-round. Call Brad Beard of Intercon today at 823-3639. That's 823-3639.
Hi, popular sports talk host Chip Howard telling you I returned early from vacation this year in order to put an end to all those retirement rumors. So if you tune in some weekday afternoon between 4 and 6 and I'm not there, not to worry. I'm just taking a well-earned day off. Until then, I'll continue working 2 hours a day, 3 days a week, 30 weeks a year for you, the listener. We've got a lot of good interviews coming up and some real clunkers, so keep it tuned to Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM.
I'm a good guy for a gal. So won't you look my palm over? I got time for a chat. So won't you tell me my future?
Welcome back, Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, David Campbell. Talking a little bit of everything today. Someone texted, Kyler could have had a better chance to get on if he had made it for spring ball. Fall won't be enough. And that's kind of why I keep coming back to. I agree. That's why.
Maybe.
You know, last week at SEC Media Days, people would ask, you know, do you think this is a real battle or is it just one of those jobs that's open just to say it's open? And I've said I will be shocked if Kyle Allen isn't taking the first snaps against Arizona State. So we'll see. I've been shocked before. So. Not going to rule.
One thing that they keep bringing up, though, is they've never really had a shared quarterback situation.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be one, and they'll ride with them.
Yeah, I think so.
So we have that going on. Also, real quick, anytime a national person says someone kind of talking about it, Tim Brando, whether or not you consider him still a guy that matters or not, he did his Final Four prediction today on a local radio station.
Really?
He's calling Ohio State, TCU, Alabama, USC in the college football playoff. You buying it?
I don't know. Yep. I'm not big into
picking. Oh, so. you're not all the way in yet?
But, you know, I was really, really high on TCU at the end of the year. I thought they were the best team in the nation at the end of the year last year.
If I had to pick, like if I was a national writer and like if I worked for ESPN and they're like, you have to submit a pick, I would say TCU, insert Big Ten champion, insert SEC champion, and then USC. Those would be my picks.
I would love to, at the end of the year, I would have loved to have seen Ohio State and TCU play. I would have picked TCU if I were picking the game.
Yeah. TCU looks so good at the end of the year. But then again, so did Ohio State. I don't know if TCU's defense could have held up to that power game that Ohio State has.
Maybe
it would have been, interesting.
Maybe not, but they might have outscored them because they had that kind of offense last year.
They were explosive. All right, it's Friday. Let's hit the people. We'll see if the guy's in the studio are ready. Let's hit them with a little bit of space news.
Space news.
It's the jingle that's sweeping the country, David. Every time it plays, everyone's day gets a little bit better. All right, so we've had some good space news. We've had some weak space. There's not always a lot going on in space, let's be honest. But sometimes there is. And today, actually late last night, NASA announced that data has revealed an Earth-like planet, Kepler-452b, which, if there's going to be something living on it, they got to have a better name than Kepler-452b.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
SETI Alpha 3.
SETI Alpha 3, yeah. Just something named after something on Star Trek or Star Wars. Just call it Vulcan. Why not just go ahead and go all the way in? Anyway, they have what they call the Goldilocks zone of orbiting a star where it's not too cold and it's not too hot and all this kind of stuff. And that's where this one fits. It is the star is very sun-like. Its orbit takes just 20 days longer than ours per year. They believe that the surface would be suitable for liquid water. The size of the planet is what's interesting. It's big. It's about its mass is about five times the size of the Earth. But so if there's people over there, they're gonna come get us.
Yeah, well.
Or maybe they might actually be little because the gravity would be higher.
Maybe
the people are smaller. But
it's amazing that that telescope can pick up stuff like that.
But yeah, this is what they say is the most Earth-like planet that they found, and in fact, they're calling it a little bit of an older cousin.
Alternate Earth.
Yeah, 1.5 billion years older. The sun of that system is 1.5 billion years older.
It's like the alternate Earth where Superman still wears the red trunks.
Right. Yeah, alternate Earth.
Maybe, and fine tune that telescope. Maybe you can find that out for sure. Maybe.
Well, it's a little ways away. So if we were able to see it, we'd be seeing stuff that happened a long time ago. If we could zoom in, it's 1,400 light years away. So if our telescopes in orbit were good enough to zoom in and focus in, we'd be seeing what was going on there.
So let's come back here in like 1,400 years and talk about it.
Yeah. We'd be able to see what was going on like in their equivalent of like the 600s, which on Earth was not much, but maybe on Kepler 452b, lot could be going on. But hey, space news, good. That's pretty good space news.
That is good space news.
Earth-like planet out there. We've talked on the show before. We have our predictions in of if we're going to find them in our lifetime, but. I don't know. They're out there somewhere, David. We're still looking. Are you into the search for extraterrestrial life?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it's out there, but I mean, I've watched enough Star Trek to know that it's possible.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of planets out there.
And they wear a lot of spandex, I think, probably, too, based on the Star Trek that I've seen.
Well, the thing, people on other planets love spandex. I've learned that from, they're even dressed weird on Krypton.
I think it's the international garment.
the
intergalactic garment is what I'm going to say.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter what planet Kronos, where the Klingons live, not a lot of spandex there.
Yeah, that's true.
But certainly on other Kronos. On other planets.
Kronos blew up. No.
It's still going.
Okay, all right.
And they blew up Vulcan in the new Star Trek.
Okay,
but
all right.
Kronos is still going, so it's got that going. But, the NASA Research Center, John Jenkins, he's the head of that, said it might be challenging at first to live there because the gravity would be pretty bad.
Well, and John Jenkins being the former University of Houston coach, that's always a little bit – you have to call that into question to begin with.
Yeah. Here's the other thing we don't know. We've got a random ad in the middle of there. The other thing we don't know is we don't even know if this is how far away it is and how recently they found it. We don't even know if it has a surface. It could be very Earth-like, or it could look like Neptune. They don't really know for sure because it's so far away. But it fits the zone, what they look for of how close is it to
It sounded a lot better when you started this thing. You add all these provisos.
They don't know yet. They don't know. They can't get in there and see. But they just found it. They found it the last 24 hours. So maybe we'll know more in the coming years about our new friend Kepler 452b, or Steve, if you prefer.
Steve,
Steve,
I like that.
The planet. We'll go ahead and call it that. So that's your space news of the day. You don't normally get to do the Friday show, so space news, you don't get to hear all the space news.
I get a lot of space news, but this is good for me.
Last week we had some fun space news because we had the whole Pluto debate a while back about is Pluto a planet, yes or no, and then at the SEC Media Days, Josh Dobbs, the Tennessee quarterback, is like a big into space stuff. He's an aerospace engineer and wants to do all this kind of stuff. So he weighed in. He said Pluto's a planet. So, if he says it, then he's more qualified than I am. So I tend to go with him. Have you aligned yourself on the Pluto debate?
I've always been high on Pluto being a planet. I didn't accept that downgrade.
No, it's just it just didn't make any sense. I mean, have a little faith in
Pluto.
Who
do we blame for that? I mean, who was responsible?
Neil deGrasse Tyson was part of that.
Really?
Yeah, him and the people at the interplanet, whatever they call the planetarium. Yeah,
spending too much time on the Daily Show. That guy's just not. He's become more of an entertainment.
I love Neil, but. He got a little out of shape on the Pluto thing. We already talked about it already. I don't want to dive too far into the Pluto thing. I just feel like we downgraded Pluto too early. It was a premature downgrading, I feel, of the Pluto situation. So, anyway, we'll find out what Kepler 452b has going on in the future. By the way, I don't know why, but randomly last night I was watching WALL-E. Did you ever watch the
Wall? Yeah.
And I don't know, it made me think of that, if we ever was sent out into space trying to find another planet. Right. I don't know. And then today they found the planet, so I thought that was kind of a good tie-in.
The Pixar movie.
Yeah. When they go out, all the people are on the big ship, and they left Earth because it was too polluted. So they're out there trying to find another one. So
sometimes I feel like Wall-E. I just kind of doing that same job over and over again.
Maybe they found they could have found Kepler 452b, but they didn't. They had to come back anyway. All right, that's today's space news. We'll go to break. We'll come back. Presumably, someone is actually prepared for the next segment. That's going to be the high school report. We'll come back and we'll do that. That's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Bill Oliver with the news update on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. The president and three vice presidents of the Houston YMCA are meeting with 20 local officials about the possibility of building a branch in the Twin Cities. Leader of the steering committee, Carl Mooney, was asked by his colleagues on the College Station City Council last night if the Y was expecting the city to pay what Mooney estimated was an $18 to $25 million facility.
Might the city be able to contribute towards that, the construction of that facility? Perhaps, maybe donation of land, for example? That would be one way to do it.
Mooney says private donations are covering the cost of today's meeting with the Y delegation. Identities have been released of three people in a car reported stolen from Brazos County that was involved in a high-speed chase of the DPS trooper Wednesday night that ended in a crash on Highway 105 near the Brazos River Bridge. The driver, 18-year-old Devon Frederick Cross of Navasota, was arrested and taken to the Washington County Jail following medical treatment. The passenger who was ejected and died was identified as 29-year-old Amelia Mejia of Wake. And the other passenger who was ejected, 18-year-old Justin Garcia O'Brien, remains hospitalized in Brenham. It's more than Washington insiders who consider it an extraordinary accusation. Rush Limbaugh on WTAW today interviewing Senator Ted Cruz after he called Majority Leader Mitch McConnell a liar on the Senate floor.
I called out the Majority Leader for looking 54 Republicans in the eye and telling a flat-out lie. It was a very unfortunate day for the Senate. It's not a good day when the Majority Leader is willing to lie to the members of the Senate.
Cruz says McConnell lied about how he would handle a vote to renew the Export-Import Bank. McConnell not on the floor when Cruz made the statement. Texas Court of Appeals has thrown out one of two criminal charges against Rick Perry related to his defunding of the state's public integrity unit. Perry still charged with abusing his power by vetoing funding because Travis County District Attorney Rosemary Lindberg did not resign after she was convicted of drunk driving. But a charge of coercing a public servant was dismissed because the appeals court ruled that violated Perry's right of free speech. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Bill Oliver on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil, and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
For your car, your home, your business too, Acme Glass takes care of you. For over 60 years, we're the clear leader. Our quality and value keep shining through. For repair and replacement on all kinds of glass, you can trust Acme.
Summer is here, so it must be Harvest Festival time. Make plans now to join the Messina-Hoff Winery family every weekend in August for the 38th annual Harvest Festival. Enjoy grape picking, traditional grape stomping, wine and food pairings, specialty dinners, and so much more. Messina-Hoff's estate winery is located at 4545 Old Reliance Road in Bryan. That's the 38th annual Harvest Festival at Messina-Hoff Winery and Resort. Get all your Harvest Festival information online at messinahoff.com/harvest.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, Think of those businesses who sponsor the games of your favorite team. Businesses like Cherry Ruffino, Coldwell Banker United, Hargrove Insurance, and Atkinson Toyota in Bryan and Madisonville. Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone HD.
Time for the High School Report, covering all the local sports action in the community on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle.
Welcome back. The Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Sorry, I got distracted. You're reading one of the texts, Larry. We'll get to the text.
This is the high school.
We'll get to the text. We'll get
brought to you by Kelly Burt Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call Kelly Burt Dozer at 778-1902. They are proudly supporting the youth of our community, even while Aubrey laughs at text messages.
Well, it goes back to we had a discussion of planets in the space news.
I heard as I drove over here, it was fascinating.
Yeah, you want to check out our new friend Kepler 452b. But first, let's get to the high school report. We'll get to the text in the next segment. We'll let you talk to our guest today, who's ready for you.
We're going to have Hillary Hoffman on. It's another one of the former local athletes who's gone on. Aubrey, I always like the story of the local boy or the local girl who makes good, and this is a case of that. Hillary played softball at Rudder High School, and now she's playing for Trinity University in San Antonio. Hillary, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are y'all?
It's a little nuts here, Hillary. I just got into the office myself, but I think in the first 30 minutes of the show, it went off the rails a little bit, so you and I are going to probably have to save the day here. We appreciate you being with us. There's several questions I had written down, Hillary. I know about you, covered your games in high school. I want you to tell our listeners a little bit about how you got to Trinity, just kind of that process. There are a lot of small colleges that have players like you, players that did a good job in high school but weren't necessarily going to be recruited by the SEC or the Big 12, but there's all kinds of programs that have players that, you know, would fit in that category. But tell us how that happened for you. I mean, I just always wonder if there was any kind of a connection, if you went to a tryout camp. Why are you a Trinity Tiger now?
Well, it started off, my brother was touring schools, and one of the schools that he looked at that I went with him to look at was Trinity. And once I walked on campus, I fell in love. And then, so I did a little research, found out who the coaches were. And at the time, the head coach was Selena Collins, who played for A&M. And the assistant coach was Brandy Sinkovic, who played for Sam Houston and is also from Caldwell. So I got in contact with them, and I emailed them and told them, you know, everything about, like, how my season was, my school, the tournaments that we'd be going to, the showcases for them to come and look. But what's really neat is my tournament coaches knew both of them. Mm-hmm. So when they would come, my coaches could go talk to them when I technically wasn't allowed to yet.
Right. Now, which team, what travel team did you play with, Hillary?
For a long time, up until my senior year, I played with the Texas Stars out of Bryan-College Station.
Okay. Now, you mentioned Brandy Sinkovic, and I want everybody who's listening to the show to know that not only can I say Sinkovic, but I can spell it. And I don't know how many people that aren't named Sinkovic can do that. But, I was doing some research looking on the website for the Trinity Athletics and was reminded of that. I actually had talked to your mom when we were talking about setting up the interview, and she mentioned it, and I had managed to forget that. But tell me what it means that you have a coach who is kind of familiar with you in this area. As you mentioned, she was a big-time pitcher at Caldwell. She went and played at Sam Houston State. She kind of knows the lay of the land. And from what I know of her, I would think she'd be a great person to play for.
Oh, I absolutely love playing for her. I think she's a great coach. She knows the game really well. Everything is very strategic in how she plans it, her practices, down to the lineup and everything. But it's great because she does know the small town background, and she knows what it took to get to playing in college.
The other thing I was wondering about, I usually have kind of a stock list of questions that I ask high school athletes, and real often when we talk to a local high school athlete who's gone on and is in college and still competing in their sports, particularly if they're at a smaller school, Division I or II or something like that, I will ask them about making the choice. Most of the kids that we have on the show obviously are bright and well-spoken, and you obviously fit that category. But I often ask them about making the choice. There's a bunch of kids from our coverage area that I talk to and that we get to know who have a choice. And just say, for example, that choice would be to go to some small school and continue their sport, or maybe go to A&M where they've grown up, they're very bright, they've got the grades to make it there, and they usually have to make sometimes a rather difficult decision. But I thought to myself, with Trinity, you didn't have to worry about that because you could continue your sports and still do very well academically.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I chose Trinity was the high level of academics. And all I could get out of that.
You know, true confessions, many years ago, before you were even born, when my son was young, I always had a dream. I thought if he could go to Trinity on a tennis scholarship, or as I think about it now, maybe even golf. But if he could have played golf or tennis and gone there, I always thought that would be a good thing. Now, you're getting ready to go into your junior year, Hillary. The first 2 years have been pretty successful by what I've been able to find on the Internet, looking at the Trinity Athletic Department website and those type of things. I know last year, your sophomore year, you kind of finished with a bang because you made the all-tournament team as the second baseman at the Southern Collegiate Athletic Conference tournament. So that was a heck of a way to end. And as I was looking up that information, I saw that I think it was Texas Lutheran that wound up winning the tournament, and they're coached by another person we know with local connection, which is Wade Wilson, who used to be the coach over at Brenham. But tell us about your first couple of years making the all-tournament team at the end of your sophomore year. I would think would have really sent you into the summer on a high. You ought to be raring to get back for your junior year.
I am super excited to get back. So my freshman year, had a great year. I got second team all conference. But what happened there, which I wanted to change going into my sophomore year, is I was really on a really hot streak in the middle. My hitting was fantastic and everything. And then it kind of fizzled out during the conference tournament. So I really wanted, going into my sophomore year, I really wanted to stay strong throughout the entire season and finish really strong at the conference tournament. And I guess it shows that I kind of achieved that goal with getting
all tournament. Well, see, that's we've struggled with that here on the show a lot, Hillary. We thought we started, you know, pretty well, and we kind of fade a lot, especially late in the week. That's what Aubrey's been doing today on a Friday. So I don't know, maybe we'll have to get in the weight room and build up our strength more. Tell us, I'm curious, I always like to ask the local kids this. Tell us about life just as a college student athlete, being at a small school, a place which is obviously committed to academics. But it's not like you're playing football at Texas A&M or Alabama, you know, or you're not at the on the women's basketball team at Connecticut. You're at a smaller school where you're still putting all the time that it takes to compete in a sport and also being a student at the same time. How do you balance all that? I mean, do you ever have time to sleep or not?
Well, sleep is not very common, but I try to schedule as much as I can in. So usually, depending on the day, sometimes we have practice in the morning if people have labs or things that they need to do at night. So we'll have maybe a 6 a.m. practice. So we'll get our practice in, and then we can do our school in the afternoon. But usually it's school in the morning. We get done around 3, then we go to practice at 4. We're in practice from 4 to either 7 or 7:30, depending on what we're doing that day. And then it's you shower in the locker room, you go get something from the dining hall, and then you go straight up to the library for the rest of the night.
Right. How has it been? I'm sure you had an idea of what you were getting into when you decided to do this, but have you enjoyed the first 2 years? Because it is a pretty full schedule, and there's a lot on your plate. Are you happy with what you're doing?
I love it. I think the school that I chose to play at was the perfect fit for me. I've made a lot of great friends in softball and out of softball, and I don't think I would have had the same enjoyment that I would have if I chose a different school.
We've got a few minutes left on the High School Report. We're talking today with Hillary Hoffman. She's a former Rutter softball player who's now attending Trinity University. She'll be going into her junior year, as I said, coming off a big sophomore season where she finished strong and she made the all-tournament team in the SCAC. I knew I was going to mess that one up. So, Hillary, after did you play? Did you play any off-season travel ball or anything? What did you do this summer?
I didn't play any travel ball because it's hard to find softball teams that do the same thing as like baseball teams do. But I continued with the softball by coaching. Right. I coached the South Texas Glory U-12 team this summer, and that kind of kept me in the softball mode all through summer.
Tell us, we got a couple minutes left as we finish up. Tell us, Hillary, you're halfway through your college career, and you're still young. I'm guessing you're around 19 or 20, so it might be a hard question to ask, but tell us about the future. I'm sure you want to make all conference and help the Trinity Tigers go to the playoffs and win the national championship and be crowned champions of the universe and that kind of thing. But beyond that, do you know for sure? You know, not all of us are blessed to know real early. Do you know what you want to do? I mean, you've put a lot of your life into softball. Maybe you want to be a coach. Lord knows, I'm sure you don't want to be a sports writer or a radio broadcaster, although you could. But what do you have in terms of future plans?
I've done a lot of nonprofit work, and so if I can continue with that, that would be great. But I also want to go into the advertising side of business. I'm a communication major, so I've done a lot of advertising and marketing work, and it's what I really love to do. And if I could do that for the rest of my life while doing something with nonprofit work, that would be ultimately my goal.
That'd be perfect. My son, who I mentioned earlier in the segment, works for a faith-based nonprofit out in Abilene. I'm sure they could always use help. Sadly, with the way Aubrey and I handled the show this week, I'm not sure if the show might be turning into a nonprofit. So maybe we could get you to do some marketing and advertising for us. The last thing, and Hillary, thanks so much. I really enjoyed talking to you. I don't know if I really got to talk to you very much during your high school career other than seeing you from the press box or back when you were playing up in the bleachers. I wasn't even in the press box. But it's been really great talking to you. Just real quickly, can you tell us what you think about Runners softball program? You were part of the building process. It's a new school. You know, Brian had an established program which had won state in the past and always was good, and you guys kind of had to start from scratch. You were part of that. Do you see them going the right way? Do you have high hopes for what they're going to do?
I do. I definitely do, especially with their new coach that they have. I haven't met her or talked to her, but everything that I've heard has been great. And Rutgers, obviously, we're still building, but I think they are building in the right direction.
Okay. All right, that's Hillary Hoffman, former Rutgers softball player, now a second baseman for Trinity University, going into her junior year. Nice enough to spend part of her Friday afternoon with us. Hillary, I appreciate it. You did great, and I feel like you saved the show for Aubrey and I, and Lord knows that we needed it. So,
thanks for having me.
We hope you have a great junior year, and one of these days we might try to see if we can get you back on.
All right. Thank you.
Aubrey, I marvel at this.
You were the only one prepared all day, Larry.
I marvel at this, but these young people, you know, she's getting ready to go into her junior year of college. But when I was that age, and I was a reporter, I worked for the paper, and if you'd have asked me a question, you'd have just got blank air because it was intimidating.
Larry, I ask you questions now.
I know.
So.
These kids these days are really great. I enjoy talking to her, and I find those kind of athletes so interesting. You know, she was a good player at Rutter, but she wasn't an all-state player. She wasn't first-team All-Brazos Valley, but she's made the most out of her opportunity, and God bless her. She's going to Trinity. She's playing ball. She's getting an education. I'm all for that.
Yeah, no doubt. You had a solid effort today on the High School Report, Larry. The High School Report brought to you by Kelly Burt Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Burt Dozer proudly supporting the youth of our community. We'll go to break. We'll come back and wrap up with the news. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
It's time for Tailgater Truths, presented by Dish. Truth number 29. Game day without HD is like a tailgate without bacon-wrapped bacon with a side of bacon. With the Tailgater from Dish, you get mobile satellite TV and quarterback sacking HD. It sets up in 15 quick minutes or less and automatically connects to a satellite signal. So the only games you're playing are the ones you want to. Plus, there's no long-term contracts. You can pay as you go. Or add the Tailgater to your Dish home account for only $7 a month. So fire up the grill and the TV and start making tail greatness this season. Just be sure to use a napkin before touching that remote, Mr. Bacon Fingers. To learn more, visit dish.com/tailgate. Restrictions include prepayment of all monthly and one-time fees.
It's summertime and a great time for sizzling hot deals at Normandy Tractor. If you need an affordable Kubota tractor to get the job done and you need it now, come see Vernon and the guys at Normandy Tractor. At Normandy Tractor, you'll find a huge selection and great prices on all Kubota tractors and utility vehicles. Normandy Tractor has the new Kubota L2501 HST 25 horsepower tractor with four-wheel drive, Kubota front end loader, 5-foot land pride shredder, and box blade with teeth. Priced with an incredible $800 finance rebate, $700 to implement rebate, and a $500 cash rebate, making your price only $18,395 or $241 per month. Normandy asks you, why buy used when you can buy new with prices and payments as low as these? Normandy Tractor is aggressively pricing all equipment bought with your new tractor, so now is the time to make the drive to Normandy Tractor. Voted best of the Brazos since 2002. Remember to shop the internet specials too at normandytractor.com. Normandy Tractor, located at the corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Normandy, Texas, and remember, nobody beats Norm G. Tractor.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years. Commercial or residential, see Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
I'm a volunteer at United Way. I'm asking people around the neighborhood what they think this place needs.
Wi-Fi everywhere.
More playgrounds.
Oh, more ice cream trucks.
I was thinking more money in the pockets of local families come tax time.
Can I change my answer?
I was just kidding about the ice cream.
When it comes to getting better tax refunds into the hands of local families, what this place needs is you. To donate or volunteer, go to unitedway.org. Because great things happen when we live united. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Your home for Fighting Texas Aggie football. Sports Radio, 1150 and The Zone, 102.7 FM.
Welcome back. The last segment of the week, getting everyone set for the weekend. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle. Aubrey Bloom joined now by the frankly ridiculously looking Sam Peschek today. He's rocking this absurd mustache and a Robert Cessna Media Days-esque Hawaiian floral print shirt.
So, I think I look pretty dapper.
Okay. Well, everyone, you know, so, different strokes for different folks. Should mention, someone texted, I don't know how I misspoke on this because I know, but maybe I've made this unclear. In WALL-E, they were waiting for the robots to clean up the Earth. So they were out there just moving around. But I was saying maybe they could have found another planet. And then Kronos was actually the first Klingon homeworld, but had to be relocated because the moon exploded.
Don't you hate it when that happens?
We're not certain what the new... I've been doing research during the break and during the high school report. I cannot find a confirmation of if they also named the new planet Kronos or not. So,
isn't the bad guy in all the Avengers movies named Kronos? Like the guy who wears the hat with the mad bling?
I think
so. Oh, geez. Yeah. Overlap there?
Yeah, we don't want to dive in on that far, but that's where we're at. So, making sure we're all straight on that. What's going on out there, Sam?
Well, we actually have like a science-y feature-y weekend coming up.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, nothing sad. Nobody's getting hurt in the news. But Jake, our course reporter, is going to talk to a couple of A&M professors.
That's Thanos, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah, well, moving okay. on. Sorry, I said clarify. We don't have to issue it's the last segment, so we have to come back on Monday and clarify this. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, Jake Walker's talking to a couple of A&M professors. Who are going to be talking about military bombs, military-issue bombs just dumped in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aren't all bombs military-issue?
I
would hope.
Like U.S. bombs.
Okay.
Our bombs are in the Gulf of Mexico.
Just hanging out?
Just chilling. Yeah, they just dump there. Bombs are just hanging out in the Gulf of Mexico. And they don't know how much. They just know there's a lot. They just know there's a lot of it.
Oh, good.
There's a ton of bombs hanging out there.
Yeah.
But according to the professors, the way that they think the military is handling it, it's not our problem yet. We'll worry about it when it is a problem. So that's something to keep an eye out for. Wear your flip-flops when
you're out there. Don't go barefooted.
Yeah, and then on Sunday, that story is about the bombs coming up on Saturday. But on Sunday, our new COPS reporter, Rebecca Fiedler, she's talking to an A&M chemistry professor who's going around the state talking to kids about chemistry. He's been doing this for a few years now, and he reached out to, 22,000 kids last year. And he wears a tie-dye lab coat.
All right.
So, and I could imagine this guy is almost as good as mustache as I do, just based on his wardrobe choice.
Anyway, what else we got?
I'm working on a story for tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, you're the building challenge.
Yeah, the building challenge. A&M's going to try and save...